Years. I'm a product of Yeshiva University. I went to high school at Yeshiva University. I also went to YU, Yeshiva University. And people asked me, what did you major in? I took probably every imaginable kind of course that existed, including many courses in biology and chemistry, organic chemistry, genetics, and at the same time, I also courses in epistemology and philosophy, and in graduate school, Bernard Revel. I also spent a fair amount of time there. I took courses in Ugaritic and Aramaic, and courses also in Jewish history. I was a liberal arts kind of fellow, interested in everything. perhaps I can say, jack of all trades, master of none. So I dabbled here and there in a lot of areas, and Baruch Hashem, I was also zoche to Rabbein, who changed my life completely. My Rebbe, in my freshman year in college, he was the Talmud Muvak of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Tzvido Kanatovsky is on the side of the Bracha. He was charismatic beyond charisma. He was Mechadesh Bechesed Elyon. And I had a connection with him until he was Nifta, until he passed away. He told us that in the 50s, the Rav, that's Rav Soloveitchik, would wake him up in the middle of the night, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and the Rav had a Chiddush in the Rambam. He wanted to share with one of his Talmidim. He'd wake up Rav Tzvido Kanatovsky. They'd walk along the banks of, I don't know which river that is, the East River? The Hudson River? In Washington Heights?
The East River.
The East River? Is that the East River? They'd walk along the banks of the Hudson River for several hours, and the Rav would share the tradition that he had in the Rambam and Gemara's with this Rav Tzvido Kanatovsky. It was a Talmud Muvak for Rav Soloveitchik. Subsequently, I resulted to be in the Shir of Avraham Lichtenstein for the next 3 years, basically, 68, 69, and 70. He's a son-in-law. So the Tzadik the Bracha just passed away. The Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Har Etzion. He was the son-in-law of Rav Soloveitchik, and obviously through him also I became enamored of the Rav, because at the same time I was going to his shir, this is 68, 69, 70, we also went to the Rav shir at the same time. We means I accompanied him. He went to the shir. And I, shall we say, simply followed him, as many others actually in the shir, including your Rav, Eshi Bill, who's a classmate of mine. Anyway, so we all accompanied basically Rav Aaron Lichtenstein to the Shia of Rav Soloveitchik, also Yorov, okay? yours as well, wow, after Shia, Baruch Hashem, he's an outstanding Rav, Rav Billet Shlita. And so we would basically accompany, so I started hearing Rav Soloveitchik Shiurim at a very young age, I'm talking about in the mid-60s. I was, I'm still a young man, but I was considerably younger at that point in time, and I also would go every summer to Boston to hear Rav Soloveitchik. You could say that he was in many respects my guru. That's the understatement of the year. Even though, despite the fact that I went to Shurim, I'm still going to college, and I still, at that point, planned on pursuing some sort of a profession. But the fact is that I also, my father, Shalom, used to take me to the Pioneer Country Club, in the Catskills. That is a kind of waz, Olav Shalom, kind of hotel. We had the Rav used to say shiurim to Mizrahi. He said the Fiat Russians, I came out heard all of them in the early 60s. My father took me, they were in Yiddish, and my Yiddish is pretty good. I grew up in Yiddish, my mother Hashem spoke Yiddish. And so I used to literally follow the Rav around from a very young age. I was a teenager, and I was following Rav Soloveitchik around. I went to Boston many, many summers. I also went to a shiur, he said, in Maria, in Manhattan. In Yiddish, the Rav says she has about 500 people to a shul in Manhattan. The Rav was just nifta, going to visit his wife, the Chazal de Bracha. He said the Yerodei Shir in YU, he was a Talmud Rav Soloveitchik. He said the Yerodei Shir probably 45 years, I don't know how long. Anyway, so I went to that shir as well, the Rav Soloveitchik gave in Yiddish for 13 years. And there I heard all Masechet Sukkah, which is published by Rabbi Reichman's father, Masechet Sukkah, Rishima Shiurim, Rav Soloveitchik. And I also used to hear Baruch Hashem, before every Yom Tov, the Rav used to speak on the Yom Tov, on Hanukkah, on Purim, in Avri Psochim, in Sudas Psochim. And I also heard parts of Masechet Tainis, good parts of Masechet Megillah, and Baruch Hashem along the lines of that. Then I lived in Providence, Rhode Island for a number of years. I was a Rebbe in a high school in Providence from 77 actually, all the way until for 5 years I was there. Every Motzei Shabbos, the Sunday morning, I was in Boston. Every Motzei Shabbos, I went to hear the Rav on Chumash, and there's a Sefer that came out, I know the author, Darash Darash Yosef. It's a blue sefer. It's actually a mismatch. You can find it behind me. So I was zochet to author that sefer based on the notes that I took from the Rasul Yitzchak Chumashirim. And on Sunday morning, he would say a blat shir. So I was there for 5 years, a blat shir as well. He said it's a Sanhedrin during that period of time. And also one or two other mesechtes. And then any time the Rav would speak, Rutgers University, University of Pennsylvania. So Avishai David found himself in those shiurim. So you can see I was pretty, shall we say, I tried to connect myself to Rav Soloveitchik. I was mesmerized by him absolutely from every standpoint. After I left Providence, Rhode Island, I moved to St. Louis, Missouri. I lived there from 81 to 84. I was pretty far away from Boston and New York. Every yard site she had, every Chuvah Drushas were given during the Chodesh Elul period, Ben Kessel Asar, during that 10-day period of Aseres and Chuvah. So I drove to hear her Rav Soloveitchik. I used to drive from St. Louis. My wife will tell you, she claims, about 10 times a year, maybe a bit less than that. I drove 24 hours straight each way. There were times I took my children. I had very young children at the time. So I would tell them, during that period of time, I'd say, we don't drink for 2 days, so they don't have to go for any pit stops. No washrooms, etc. No more than once or twice. We had to get there. And we drove there. I drove, that is to say. I drove 23, 24 hours to hear our salvation. And now on the way back, I didn't even have to drive. Because I was so uplifted by the shir, I was carried on country nishorim and the pinions of eagles.
Cruise control.
Total cruise control. There's a Targum, Yonosim Brazil, you're probably familiar with him. He writes over there, on country nishorim. That night, Hashem Yisbarach took Klal Yisrael in the magic carpet operation. They were wafted to Egypt, where they brought the carpet to Egypt, to Yerushalayim. They brought the carpet to Pesach, and then they wafted back. So I was on the magic carpet. Sheps, I was on the magic carpet of Rav Soloveitchik, and I had no reason to actually drive back, literally, total cruise control, automatic pilot, you call it. So this is just the background of where I'm coming from in terms of Rav Soloveitchik. I felt that Rav Soloveitchik, not only did he change my life, I think he changed the lives of the entire American Jewish community and the world, and he probably saved the American Jewish community. He saved the North American rabbinate, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I'm slightly biased. You may have gathered that by now. But also, I think my bias is not too really, I don't think it's extreme. I don't think it's hyperbole. I think I'm simply expressing how I feel in terms of Rav Soloveitchik. I will tell you that in all the years of Shurim, I went to the rabbi, I never missed one shir. I went to 13 years of Shurim by Rav Soloveitchik. Never missed one shir. It was not even a habamina to miss a shir. Even every joke of the rabbi I would write down. Because it's a Gemara, in Sukkah, what can I do? The Gemara says, "V'yaleilu yibo, afilu sichas chulim shel tamir chametz tzvicha limud." Even their sichas chulim, even their jokes, you have to try to understand them and evaluate them. One time in Providence, Rhode Island, I lived in Providence from the year 78 till 84, and I went to a shiur. The Rav was saying Adam Chatos in Tzvachim, and those shiurim were unbelievable. I don't know how the Rav somehow we convinced him to say shiurim. And not I, but Rabbi Gedak and Rabbi Ilsen and a few other noteworthy types, Rabbi Shatwetsky, they convinced the Rav to say Shurim Zatzal on Dan Chatos and Zvachim, the Perik and Zvachim. So we knew that the Rav was familiar with Kachin. Kachin, you know, we're talking about having to do with Besavidosh and Kabbanos, but the Rav never said Shurim on Kachin. The Rav wanted to, because that really what he was, he grew up on, Kachin, that really was his bread and butter. I mean, everything was his bread and butter, but Kachin, in fact, was more bread and butter for the Rav than anything else. And but that's not what he said to the public, but the public couldn't handle it. Unless you learn a brisk. You heard of brisk? The Rav was associated with brisk. You know, he has cousins over here in Eretz Yisrael. Brisk? I'm not talking about brisket, but brisk. You know what brisk is?
That's how they just grandfather.
Correct. There's a whole entire school, and a whole family, very, very noteworthy family of great Gedolei Yisrael, including his cousins who live here in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Soloveitchik actually used to raise money for the brisk kollel over here, even though in Hashkofa, clearly, he did not see eye to eye with them at all, but he raised tens of thousands of dollars every year for the brisk kollel. This I know from within. And he did because by brisk, mishpacha is a separate din. The pasuk says, you don't, family is family. When I wanted to get married, so of course, who did I turn to be Masada Kedushin? I turned to Rav Soloveitchik. And the day of the chasana, the Rav calls me in and tells me I can't be Masada Kedushin. Why not? I asked. He said, because a cousin of his is getting married. A third cousin. Third cousin is a Pasul Eidos? Oh, you learned Bracha, sorry. Anyway, third cousin, not Pasul Eidos? So Mishnah Sanhedrin. Not Pasul Eidos? So what? Mahakesha? I asked him first. Should I get a Talmud? I said, no. By then, Mishpachas is Eben Alochen. Yipsochel is a Salah. Mishpacha is a separate din. So he was very, shall we say, clearly very sorry that he couldn't do it. So he saw that I was dejected. That's not the word we're in. I was in a state of, how shall I say, almost total disillusionment, almost to the point of melancholia, probably close to psychological depression. That's what I would have been probably psychologically. They would have, that's what any good psychologist would have come to the conclusion. I have to be, shall we say, put somewhere, even though it's the day of the wedding. And so the Rasa said, "What? There are no rabbis coming to the wedding? No other rabbis?" As far as I'm concerned, there were no other rabbis. So he looks at me, he says, "Let me have the list. We will go down the list to see who is capable of being Masada Kedushin." So we went down the list and we started. Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, that's how I was in my chasana with his yellow hat, yellow nice summer hat, and by the way, he was rejected. And we started going down the line. Down the line, I mean, very notable Talmidei Chachamim, Rosh Yeshiva in YU, the biggest Rosh Yeshiva, European Rosh Yeshiva, one or two American Rosh Yeshiva, including Rav Herschel Schechter, Shlita, and including who else? A bunch of others, without getting into all the long list, and Rav Ruchem Gerelik, Tzadik Debracha, and these people, and come to Rav Noach Bornstein, "Oh, Dozidach, that's the one." Rav Noach Bornstein, I used to play basketball with his son. It's hard for you to believe that I actually played basketball. You probably don't believe it. I have Aiden who can testify that I played basketball. So I have to bring him to you. Otherwise, you probably won't believe me. I have no credibility. But anyway...
Or should you just go to the court and show us?
No, that would be not... I'd be embarrassed myself. But anyway, embarrass you. So, Rav Noach Bornstein was a Talmud of the Rav's uncle, the Briskov. I still played basketball with his son, Sam Bornstein, many, many years ago. It goes back about 50 years ago. We used to play with Heshe Reichman, with Rabbi Reichman's father, with Benji Tabori, Hashem Shetzen Refuah Shleima, and with a group of Mordechai Willig, a whole group of notables used to play basketball. Many of them are Rosh Yeshiva today, and Hashem should be mechazik them. Anyway, so the kids are, so Rav Noach Bornstein. Now, I did know Rav Noach Bornstein. I didn't know him. I was in a shir for a bit. That time he said a shir. It was actually known as a kind of country club shir. Not too many people were interested in his shir. Unfortunately, he was a goyin shen kamo. What a genius. So the Rav said, he will be Masada Kedushin, okay? I went to Rav Noach Bornstein that morning, and I asked him to be Masada Kedushin. When are you getting married? In Yiddish, this conversation takes place in Yiddish. So I told him, tonight. Heid banacht. The Ot Chassidah, he says, when they cook me eats, and now you come to me now, they get married tonight, don't you? Don't they usually arrange these things beforehand? Of course they do. But the Rav was supposed to be Masada Kedushin, he couldn't do it. Okay, fine. It was the first time he was ever Masada Kedushin. Never Masada Kedushin. He's just a guy. That's all. He's just a guy. He doesn't know about things that rabbis do. That's not his thing. Fine. So then I spoke to Rabbi Alex. He told me, "You better come to the Chasana with Asach Subis, with a lot of Subis." Because he's a Chavusa of, he was also a Shiva Mayu, a Chavusa of Rabbi Noach Bornstein. And he says, "Ich kenne him ganz gut." They were Chavusas in the Shiva. They learned Bris together. And so by the Briskov, by Rabbi Elba Soloveitchik, he said, "I'm telling you, forewarned is forearmed. Better come." I come to the chasana. Right away, the first ksuba, the second line already, he passed the ksuba, he tore the ksuba up. I brought five with me, I think, if I'm not mistaken. He tore the first one, he tears the second one up. I see already, we're not going in a good way. Second one, he tore up based on a Ramban. Chedusha Ramban, somewhere in ksubis, that bothered him. The loss of the ksuba was against the Ramban and ksubis. You think I know ksubis? You think I know the Ramban? You think I know what he's talking about? Not a clue, but he's... Third ksuba also went by the way of all flesh. And so right away, I saw I was getting pale. I only brought five, so I didn't know what to do. So right away, I went to Rabbi Gerlach, who was right there. Rabbi Gerlach I knew very well. Any kanois that I possess comes from him. Anyway, so it's a fair amount. But kitzer, so the Rabbi Gerlach tells me we have to sideline him. What does that mean, sideline him? We have to occupy him with Divrei Torah. So he says to me, "I'll take care of it, then we'll bring a few other big time the Chacham come along on the scene, and they start talking to him in Kachim. He was a mumch in Kachim. He was a mumch in Kol HaTorah Kula, but he knew Kachim inside out. And Rabbi Rakefe told me, Rabbi Rakefe here, there's a gentleman who comes here, Mitam Boayu. He actually was at my bris. Anyway, so Rabbi Rakefe, I know his family, many, many years. So he told me that number one Talmud of the Risk of Rav Salvezi's uncle was Yisrael Noach Bonstein. He had a different name. It's not important for you to know his name right now. From the Bia Yeshiva, they called him by their family names. They didn't know them by their first names. Anyway, so he's busy passing Ksuvis, and I'm going out of my mind. They quickly, three of them come along. It was not only Rabbi Ruchel, but a few others also. They start talking to him in Kachim. He forgot he was in Tzadik Nushin. Totally forgot. They drew away. Rav Nissim Alper comes quickly. They schlep him. Rav Nissim Alper, he was my Rebbe. Rav Nissim Alper is the Talmud Buvuk Moshe Feinstein. Had a keshe with him for 20 years. 20 years till he was Nifta. Mamish till 1986. And I didn't move out of Rav Nissim Alper. I love Rav Nissim Alper. I love my Rebbe. So Rav Nissim, I also went to many, many years of shiurim from him. Not tens, hundreds of shiurim I heard from him. And many mesechtes. At nighttime, in the morning.
Why didn't we ask Rav Nissim Alper to be Sayyidus and Chafila?
Oh, Akasha. Akasha Vavaisa. The answer is Rav Salvezik. So,
well, he couldn't do it straight.
But say that, okay, what can I say?
Okay, sorry.
I don't think as quickly as Rabbi Yudin. Anyway, so Rav Nissim Alper quickly, he was an experienced hand at the Sayyidus and Chafila. And right away, he fills out the tshuva, 1-3. You know, Rav Noach Bonstein is going strong with Rav Gerelik and a few others. I won't mention the names right now. Going to Eretz. Mamish going to Eretz. And meanwhile, I go to the, what do you call it?
Badekin.
Badekin. And before that, I'm on the chuppah. They finally schlep Rav Noach Bonstein to the chuppah because he's supposed to be inside the Kedushin. That means he says the brachas on the chuppah. So Rav Noach Bonstein says, Avuz Diksuba. So they won't show it to him because they know he'd probably pass on this one too. Etc. I'm just giving you a glimpse of Greg W. So, okay, I'm back here. So why am I saying this? So I once missed a shiur of Rav Soloveitchik in Providence, Rhode Island. The Rav was saying on Dam Chatas, my wife broke her leg. She decided to plant some tomatoes in the backyard in Providence, Rhode Island, which is about an hour and 15 minutes from Boston. It's nothing. He has to go every Monday Shabbos, every Sunday morning. I got a few tickets at the Mass Turnpike. Okay. Anyway, so I had to get there. The shiur, I couldn't miss a word. Chas v'shalom. Anyway, so what?
The trooper followed.
Correct. That story with the trooper. That's one mice that I have. I can't tell now. I don't have time. I have a lot of other things to say. Anyway, so the. So my wife, we went to the surgeon, orthopedic surgeon, hospital. Her leg was put in traction, and okay, so now she's in traction, and her leg is up there, very nice. I told my wife, I'm going to the shiur. The Rav said the shiur in the afternoon. My wife said, how could you go to the shiur? We had very young children. They were 2 or 3 years old, something like that. 1980 or 79. So one of those years. My children were very young. I had a few children. So I said, they'll take care of you. I told my wife. I had to go to the shiur. How did I miss the shiur of our salvation? Dam chatas. Is that possible? But don't you agree? Rav Deckelbaum, he's my Rebbe. How could I miss the shiur? So you think I should have gone? My wife didn't think so. So what do? I had a Yitzhar to go to the shiur. Very strong Yitzhar. You cannot imagine. I couldn't miss the shiur. But there was an issue of my wife, a leg contraction, orthopedic surgeon. How would you pass from the shiur?
I abstain.
You have to be politically correct. Okay, Hashem should bless you. So, what did I do? I called my Rebbe, Rav Nissim Alper. I asked him, what should I do? He answers me, how many psychiatrists do you think you need? He said, what? That's what he told me. I explained the whole situation to him. How many psychiatrists do you think you need? Do you think 7 will be sufficient for your ailment? You understand what he's saying? Hashem, you're an intelligent fellow. Clearly, I wasn't too intelligent. Anyway, so he obviously told me, do not go. If you do, I'll have to send you to 7 psychiatrists to see what the nature of your ailment is. So I didn't go. It's the only shiur I missed in 13 years of Rav Soloveitchik. Next day, I took 13 notebooks, or 13 talmidim. I copied 13 notebooks, copy by hand, 13 notebooks of the shiur, to make sure Chas v'Shalom, I wouldn't miss one nugget of Rav Soloveitchik. Dam chatas, zvachim. But it wouldn't make a difference, even if we're in Pirkei Avos or we're in Siddur, I'd do the same thing. So that's just to give you my background as far as Rav Soloveitchik is concerned. I want to dedicate what I'm saying now. I didn't even know about it, and I just heard about it this morning Rav Soloveitchik's doctor was nifter this week, Dr. Alan Goldstein. Zechem lebracha. Chamish Gevos, nobody told me.
Not told me.
Rav told me this morning. So I happen to know Dr. Alan Goldstein very well for many, many years. Why? I stand in front of him in the Shir Maria that I went to in Manhattan for 13 years. He was there way before me. He was there way after me. He's a well-known doctor in Manhattan. He was Rav Soloveitchik's doctor. And so I just found out this morning he was nifted on the way to the yeshiva. And I want to, and also when I was at shiva for my brother, Zechem lebracha, almost 2 years ago, Pesach time, so he came to Menachem Avel. He was here in Eretz Yisrael, came to Menachem Avel, and I had a lot of connection with him. Over the years, my brother was his accountant for many, many years, my older brother, Menachem Zechem lebracha. And so I decided I'm going to start by telling you a little bit what I heard from Dr. Alan Goldstein, Zechem lebracha, about Rav Soloveitchik. Dr. Alan Goldstein learned for a fair number of years in Tells in Cleveland. He learned the Tells in Yeshiva in Cleveland, I think it was 7 years. He told me he learned the Tells, and he was a tremendous Balkish, unbelievable, very bright fellow, very smart. He was also a brilliant doctor. I don't know if Rabbi Apfel Schlitter, if he knows him or knew him, probably he did, I imagine. I can't imagine he didn't know him. Anyway, this Dr. Alan Goldstein, so was... He came to YU after 7 years of Tells. He read a yeshiva called Tells. There's a yeshiva called Tells in Cleveland. Yeah, Cleveland is a city in the United States. You're from Whitmere. You probably don't think any Jews outside Whitmere. But okay, I don't blame you. Your father over here, compatriots, think there are no Jews outside Flatbush. They don't know there are Jews living in Queens. They never heard of it. But holy hell. Anyway, but there is such a thing. And there are Jews who live outside of Whitmere as well. You live in Teaneck. They never heard of that there are Jews in Teaneck. Like, holy hell. Only Flatbush and Deal, New Jersey. Where else? Anyway, so the...
Greatneck.
A few Jews looking Greatnecks. Anyway, so he was tested, Dr. Goldstein, by Mendel Zaks, the son of the Chafetz Chaim, who was the Bochin in YU in my days. And he was put into the Rav Shir. And he told me that he remembers Rav Soloveitchik. This I heard at the... when he came to Menachem Avel, he was telling over about the Rav. And he said the Rav would read, would say a shir for several hours, and he would read a small tesis of a few lines. And that was the whole shir. The whole shir was on this tesis, trying to understand the tesis, every word should be in place, and it was unbelievable. It was like one of these intellectual trips, very enlightening kind of shiurim. And Rav Soloveitchik, at the end of the shir, he said every word in the tesis, not every word, every line in the tesis was dancing. That's what he told me, Dr. Goldstein. Every Vav HaChibur in the Tesis was dancing and saluting Rav Soloveitchik. That's how he described the Shir when the Rav would take a Tesis. And he said that his Chavrusa told him when they left that Shir, the Chavrusa said to him, he says, I bet that Tesis did not understand what he said as well as Rav Soloveitchik understood it. Chavrusa told him. That's obviously a joke, but it's a joke which indicates simply the brilliance of Rav Soloveitchik. Anyway, I start with this because I heard from, I just wrote it down for myself this morning, a few items that I said I'm going to talk about. Once I heard about this, that he actually told me about Rav Soloveitchik, aspects of the Rav that I didn't know. I knew the Rav was a genius. I knew the Rav was brilliant beyond brilliance. Charismatic. He would say drushes for, literally, I'm not joking, for 4 or 5 hours. The Rav would say a true drusha, it would go from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock at night. And people would sit there. And then at 12 o'clock, the Rav would say, those shiur were in Yiddish. 2,000 people came to the shiur. It's hard to believe. The Rav held on to the audience. He was riveting, charismatic beyond belief. He's like a magnetic kind of attraction. At 12 o'clock, he'd say, he would turn to English. Do you want more? Do you want to hear more? So, of course, what was my answer? Bishum panim ofen, no. I didn't say it, though. You didn't open up your mouth. Chas v'shom, you open up your mouth. So, everyone was like me, too. So, I said, I see shtika kaido. The fact you are quiet, you want more. And they all went off another hour to 1 o'clock in the morning. This is going on all the time. Chubut Roshes, Yortzat Shurim that I attended regularly. But Dr. Alan Goldstein, Zechem Lebracha, told me about another side of the Rav that I was not aware of. I knew the Rav was human. I did have some idea he was a human being. So he told me the Rav actually, and I'll tell you, maybe first before I mention what Dr. Goldstein told me, I'll tell you what I myself heard from another Talmud of the Rav in the 50s. there was a great Gadol Batorah named Rav Chaim Heller. Rav Chaim Heller held himself to be a Talmud Chaver of Rav Chaim Heller. Rav Chaim Heller was one of the Gadol Yador. He came from Germany. He was, unfortunately, he came to America, couldn't speak English, had difficulty, Parnassa. The Rav supported him. The Rav used to give him actually one-third of his salary every week. This went on for apparently years and years. Not so well known. I told this Rabbi Rakefet. He not told me any chidushim. You know, he knows everything. Anyway, so the the Rav supported him all done very quietly, you know, very unassumingly. So Rav Soloveitchik actually was responsible for supporting a number of widows. These were Rebbetzins of Musmachim who learned with him, who died at a very young age. Everything was done, again, in his Batznei Alechet, very quietly, very unassumingly. There was a my day when there was a student who developed a very serious hematological condition, very serious disorder, and he used to have to leave before the end of the shiur in order to receive treatments. He unfortunately passed away, and a very famous person, also a big Balkishan, Asolesha, used to shorten the shiur on the days that he was there, so he wouldn't feel that he could leave the shiur, which is unbelievable. The Rav never shortened any shiur, trust me. And yet for this young man who was in terrible, terrible shape and didn't want to leave the shiur and had to have medical treatment, the Rav would shorten the shiur. In general, Rav Soloveitchik had an unbelievable humanity to him. I remember the following story myself. I saw it. And Aniyim used to come to the shiur and wait till the end of the shiur for the Rav to give them tzedakah, for every one of us to give tzedakah before we daven mincha. So once an Ani came in the middle of the shiur. And this guy used to come often, once a week he came, and he came in the middle of the shiur, and he started, and the shiur had gone on for 2-3 hours, and he was waiting, and he couldn't wait any longer. So he pipes up in the middle of the shiur in Yiddish, Rebbe, ich muss haben Geld. He said to Rav Soloveitchik, I need money, in the middle of the shiur. So they tried to stop this guy, but he was very, he was a Baropak kind of fellow, very aggressive. And so then he said, ich muss haben Geld. He tells him I'm in a very difficult situation and I need money badly. And the little shiur, interrupts the little shiur. Hundreds of people are sitting there. He interrupts the shiur. And then he starts going and telling about his condition, which is so bad. So the Rav said to him, he calls him by his name and says, Steh doch im Posseg mit Vashrecha Tirchak. That's what I always said to him. Don't lie. That put him away for, shall we say. He was exaggerating his situation. I thought that he was very glut, very yashistic. 5 minutes later, the Rav, I see he's fumbling in his pocket because he didn't want the guy to wait. The Rav pulls out of his pocket a $100 bill and tells the gabbai, his shamus, to give him $100. That's what he had in his pocket, so he gave him $100. The Rav was well known for that. Well known to give out huge sums of money. Matter of fact, because of that, they couldn't leave the Rav alone because he was sort of the malam and I'm walking on the malam and asman. I'll tell you another ma'aseh. Soloveitchik was once in Boston in his house. I still didn't get to anything I want to do yet. But Soloveitchik was once in Boston in his house, and his wife, his Rebbetzin, wasn't there. His Rebbetzin passed away in 1965. And the Rav lost his Rebbetzin, he lost his wife, he lost his brother, Dr. Shmuel Soloveitchik. And the Rav also lost, at the same time, within a year and a half period, the Rav lost his mother and his wife, and his brother in a very short period of time. Anyway, so this guy comes and he's a mashulach. You know mashulach? You know mashulachim? They come to the house, they ask for things, whatever. Comes to Rav Soloveitchik's house and he looks haggard and tired. How do we know the story? From one of the Rav's grandchildren. In other words, he wouldn't know the story either. Because no one was there except one of the Rav's grandchildren was there. So the Rav lets him in the house and he tells the Rav that he also needs money. But he says, I'm also very hungry. I'm very hungry. I didn't eat anything today. I had a long day, a hard day, moving from place to place. And so Rav Soloveitchik, his wife had prepared something. He just gave the guy his whole, he gave him away his whole supper. By the way, he gives him his whole supper. And the guy's eating in front of Rav Soloveitchik, eats up the Rav's supper. Fine. Then the Rav gives him a large sum of money. Apparently it was more than $100. That's what I understood. Several hundred dollars the Rav gave him. That's what he said, though. Whatever was in his pocket, that's why they couldn't let the Rav alone. Otherwise he'd give away, probably give away the whole house. Give away everything that he had. The Rav had a lot of compassion. People didn't see that side of him. But kids, I'll tell you the end of the story. The story was told over at one of the Hespedim I heard for Rav Soloveitchik. That's where I heard the story. Anyway, so then the guy says to the Rav, in Yiddish, he says, Ich will haben soda. I want to have some soda. The Rav didn't know what the word soda meant. So he says, was heißt soda? What do they call soda in Boston?
Pop.
Pop, correct. They call it pop. The Rav knew the word pop. Didn't know the word soda. So the guy says, Ich will haben soda. So the Rav says, "What say soda? What soda?" So he tells the Rav, he's trying to explain to the Rav what soda is. He says, "Vasa mit abisul tzeva." It's water with a little color into it. So the Rav says, "Oh, water with a little color." So what does the Rav do? The Rav goes to the gets some water, and then he goes inside the refrigerator and finds some apparently some what do they call it? Some coloring, and the Rav pours the coloring into the water. This is my sejoya. Say ning. Yichvil doesn't yichvil nish. Yichvil is the dust. I don't want this. I want soda. So the Rav for the life of him can answer what soda is. After back and forth a few times, then the Rav says, Yevil told him, pop! He said the story, you want pop? And the Rav quickly went to bring him some pop. I think he brought him some Coca-Cola. I don't know exactly what he brought him, but this is a nice Shahoya. Okay, I'll mention a story that was told to me by Rabbi Shapiro. Rabbi Shapiro is a Manal of Maimonides. I'm very friendly with him. He's in Yerushalayim. I know him for approximately 50 years. So Rabbi Shapiro told me the following story. There was a there's a Maisa Shoya in Boston. The Rabbi, you know, founded Maimonides. Maimonides is one of the earliest day schools to be founded outside New York City. It was founded by the Rabbi and his wife, Aleihem HaShalom, when in the 30s. You heard of Maimonides? What school did you go to?
The
IRS. The IRS, wow, you're so well. Adoshim Gedolim. Okay, so there were schools outside New York City as well. Rasology founded Maimonides in Boston. It was both a day school and a high school, and it was really rather extraordinary in those years to establish a day school, high school outside New York City. Anyway, so the story is that there was a young man who used to come once a week to visit Maimonides. That's Yadua. Rabbi Shapiro told us to me. So he visited Maimonides. Sometimes he would test the Talmidim. Sometimes he would come to a class, and he went to both the high school and the day school as well, Soloveitchik. He felt very connected since he founded Maimonides, and he raised the money from Maimonides also. And yeah, he felt very connected to it. So there's a young boy who is crying in the hallway. Crying in the hallway. Maybe he was in third grade. And so Soloveitchik stopped and said to him, "Why are you crying?" He said that his Rebbe, or Moreh, whatever they call him, threw him out of the class because he didn't know the Chumash. So Rav Soloveitchik said to this little boy, he says, "Maybe I can help you." He said, "This little boy." So he said, the boy says to him, third grade, how old are people in third grade?
8
years old approximately. So he says to this boy, says to Rav Soloveitchik, "Do you know Chumash?" He didn't know who Rav Soloveitchik was. "Yeah, do you know Chumash?" The Rav says, "I can try." That's what the Lashon was. "I can try." So the Rav taught him. The Rav took him to the library of Maimonides. And the Rav spent apparently an hour and a half with this little boy. And taught him Chumash. Taught him whatever he had to be taught. The little boy then goes back to class. So the teacher says to the little boy, "What are you doing here?" "Threw you out." He says, "I think I know the Chumash." So the teacher starts asking him, and the teacher's astounded by what he's hearing. Astounding. Absolutely astounding. The guy is spouting all kinds of things, which are, for a third grader, forget about it. It's not even a hobby. So he asked him, what happened exactly? So he says, "I met this guy." He says, "This guy. See, I can put him to sleep too." So,
he's good.
Hashem should bless you. You have a very resplendent kippah today.
Thank you.
May Hashem bless you. Anyway, so the what was I about to say?
Third grade.
He met this guy. He says, "Which guy did you meet?" He says, "Well, like, it was a rabbi with a white beard. I met a rabbi. I think it was a rabbi. I don't know. It was a guy, an older man with a white beard, and he sat down with me and learned with me some chumash." So the teacher said, "Was it Rabbi Soloveitchik?" So he said, I don't know what his name is. So he was just a very nice man who taught me Chumash. And anyway, the story is, this young man said that event, he's now a man who's middle-aged, changed his whole life. He remembers that encounter with the Rav. Changed his entire life. So Dr. Goldstein, Zatzal, who just passed away this week, he told me stories like this about Rabbi Soloveitchik. But the human side of Rav Soloveitchik, I myself was really not so aware. I was frightened of the Rav. That's not the right word. I was congealed. I sat in the shir, was completely congealed. You know what congealed means? Like you probably are now with this weather. No, you. You like this? Cold. I was in a state of, shall we say, I was a frozen icicle sitting in the shir. So what happened was I was told to sit right in front of the Rav. That would be the best place to sit. So I did. I sat right in front of where you are, even closer actually. There weren't so many desks separating us, just this desk. The Rav sat by the desk. And I told him, if you're in front of him, the Rav won't trouble you. At one point, the Rav called on people to read the Gemara. And said, my name is David. Unfortunately, my last name, my first name is even worse. It's with an A. So, Avishai David, you probably don't know my name. But anyway, just begins to say, just to tell you who my name is, so you should know. So anyway, so I'm sitting there in the shiur, and the Rav called on me to read the Gemara. So trust me, I used to prepare like crazy. I'm not exaggerating. I had a chavrusa. He's a well-known personality, well-known Talmud Chacham. I had two chavrusas, one chavrusa I've known with for 12 years. We learned all Nashim Nezikim together. All Nashim Nezikim. You know what that means? Not Mishnayis and Nashim Nezikim. All the Masechet is Nashim Nezikim. I learned with for 12 years. We learned in the mornings, we learned at night time from 9 to 1, every night from 9 to 1 in the Wadi Beis Medrash. Every Sunday we learned all day. Every Friday we learned on the telephone. You know, the telephone's not the cell phones with speakers. And all we learned holding the telephone. He lived in a different place than I did. The men in Manhattan. And I lived in the Bronx. And so we still learned the telephone together. And all summer, every summer we learned for many, many summers, all day. So I covered Nashim Nezikim with him, Baruch Hashem. So the Rav calls on me to read the Gemara. I couldn't even open up my mouth. I was so frightened of the Rav. The Yira that I had in the presence of our salvation, the Gol Ador. So I tried to read the Gemara, and trust me, I don't know how to describe it. He demolished me, destroyed me, harassed me. I don't know how to describe it. He didn't mean it in a personal way, you understand? Just that clearly I was not prepared in the proper way that I should be prepared. Fine. So this went on every day. 3 days a week. Went on for 6 months. During that six-month period, I used to learn all day and all night. I basically didn't go to college classes. I didn't bother. What's the point? More important was to be able to function in the shir, and I used to learn my chavrusa all day and all night. One day, maybe by the third month, into the shir, the Rav asked me for a svara. What's a svara in this Rashi? So I said something. So the Rav said to me, "Bizal Oshim, what happened? I see you have a brain." Bizal Oshim. That was like the biggest compliment I ever got from Rav Soloveitchik. I see you have a brain. I said something intelligent, which is obviously a rare moment. And so that was, wow, okay. So now I'll tell you one other thing. So then after 6 months, the Rav said, "All right, I had enough of you. Well, I breathed a sigh of relief. I was ready to have a Suras Mitzvah. I was ready to call one of the hotels and, shall we say, invite everyone that, I don't want to say this, Baruch Shem Torani Me'on Shol Shol Zeh, they say Bar Mitzvah. I was going to say something of a similar nature, and have a massive party. You know, I no longer am under the, shall we say, under the shotgun. Rav Soloveitchik then says, let me have the list. He takes over the list and looks at, who is Avishai? He thought that David and Avishai are two different people. I said to myself, I don't believe this is happening. I said to myself, this is not real. So right away, what my chavrusa, who happens to sit next to me in the shir, he was not far from me in his letters. The letters that he says, quickly, he realized he's going to be called on next. He says, that's him, referring to me. Isn't that a nice fellow? I wanted to not just shoot him. I wanted to basically, what did I want to do to him? What was that?
Shep's good at this.
Oh, okay. So what did I want to do to that fellow?
Like what you
want
to do
to
the Arabs, like
okay, anyway, I wanted to essentially do something along those lines and then send out, after the 12 pieces, send out one piece on the ship to Israel. That's what I was going to do to this gentleman, my chavrusa. But what could I do? I was sitting there, so I said, all right, read the Gemara. So I read the Gemara for 3 days, and the third day, the Rav looks at me, this way, that way, I said, what is your name, David or Avishai? That's what he says to me. And that, Baruch Hashem, after that, I was free and clear. Next number of years, the Rebbe never called on me again. And I sat the shiur, I was able to enjoy the shiur. And during that time, I lost about 70 pounds. I was not that heavy. Today, I'm after many years of Kugels and what have you. Anyway, I was, Baruch Hashem, free. The sense of pachad and yira, but it was not just yira sa'inish. It was yira sa'inish. We thought we were in the presence of one of the Dolei Ador, which we were, and we recognized whom Rav Soloveitchik was, and the Shi'urim was so, I could describe a Shi'ur of the Rav, especially the Shi'ur of the Rav, the Yotzat Shi'ur of the Tshuva D'Rashim. The Rav would ask four or five questions, which took about an hour, and then the Rav would go to another area in Shas, Babli, Yushalmi, whatever it was, and then develop an idea. You saw that took him 2 hours, we would say to ourselves, what is this man doing? Ma Kesher. The questions that he asked and what he's discussing. And then in the middle of the 2 hours, we begin to realize what the Rav was up to. He He was developing Yisod in another sugya, and that once he developed the Yisod, he took that Yisod and answered all the questions that he asked at the very beginning. It was like watching a building going up. You see the building blocks going into place, and the reason why I say this is because it was so logical and so rational, and everything was literally mamish, a building, an edifice being built, being constructed. And so we said to ourselves, often you hear Rosh Yeshiva who are just geniuses. I was also a genius. But here, Rosh Yeshiva, geniuses say these pilpulim that are mind-boggling, that you can never possibly come on your own to any kind of such pilpul. With the Rav, he'd read the Gemara, he'd read Rashi, he'd read Tesis, he'd read the Rishonim inside, and that's how he would build the whole sugya. So he felt, you know, maybe I can also perhaps, shall we say, come to some tangency. That's what Fasemis writes. Chayav Adonoma, Masa, Yagiyu Masa, and the Masa, Yagiyu Masa, the Yankiv. Means Yagiyu, maybe there could be some tangency. And that's how the Rav taught us how to learn. And also, he excited us. We were so inspired by him, enthralled by him. I don't know how to describe it. Literally, he was the most enthralling shiur that I could possibly hear. But at the same time, sometimes it was agony. You know, agony and ecstasy. Are you familiar with that novel? Perhaps not. Okay, anyway, there's a well-known novel, Agony and Ecstasy. But kids here, I'm talking about the following. We're learning the perek HaSechas Umdin. You know that perek in Bava Tzia? Not a simple perek.
Yeah.
What? Why are you turning to him?
Get him back.
It's a difficult parak. Trust me, a difficult parak. The sixth parak in Bava Metzia. So we're learning that parak. And the Rav said the following to us at the very beginning. He said that he learned, this is when the Rav Soloveitchik mentioned to us, what he learned with his father. I was about to give you some background on Rav Soloveitchik. You know, Rav Soloveitchik is born in Chasavitz. His father was a Rav in, I actually brought with me, I went looking for his wife. I'm telling you, you made me really dredge up everything that I possibly have. And trust me, I have about 5 briefcases of Rav Soloveitchik in many different places. But I brought a letter that was written by the Kop de Rav, Rav Duba Kana Shapira, about Rav Soloveitchik. Because the Rav actually came to Boston. I'll come back to this in 1 second. What was I about to discuss here?
Sochasunin.
I'll get to it in a second. I'll come back to it 1 second more. Rav Soloveitchik. When he came to Boston, I have also the Hesped of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. I was present at that Hesped of Rav Soloveitchik in Boston. I came back, this was on the last Chol HaMoed Pesach, right before the Yom Tov Achron. My brother-in-law, Zechel de Brocha, and I, Rabbi Michal Wiener, Zatzal, he actually is in Boston. He's a Maimonides product, 12 years, and later he Yeshiva Resi, Smicha BYU, and then worked for Osco for over 30 years, and also was in Lakewood for many years, and wrote on Kalim for Art School, and wrote on Olois, and on Uktsin, and Nochapaz, the Bucky and Taras, also Bucky and Kalto Kula, but Taras was his specialty. Anyway, so he's my brother-in-law, my wife's sister's married him. Anyway, so we went to Levaya, we flew to Levaya, because I was in Lakewood at Pesach, and we came back 5 minutes before Yom Tov. It was my heart was in my mouth. I can't begin to describe it to you. Okay, so now, that's not what I was describing. I was describing 2 things at the same time. One, I said it was Omnin. I'll get to that in a second.
And a letter from
the Kav de Rav. So what happens, the Rav comes to Boston and becomes the chief rabbi of Boston. But he didn't have smicha. So, you know, Balabati. They figured out after a while, Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't have smicha. You know smicha? What's smicha? You do a cloth, a parchment. What does it say on the parchment?
In my parchment it says,
so they went, they did smicha on the par, on the bullock. You know, they by korbanos, they have smicha. Anyway, so that's what it says on my parchment. So anyway, it's a pasuk in Chumash, you know, Vayikra? You ever study Vayikra? The reason why I'm turning to you because you look like a very friendly fellow. So, so you see, don't fight me, Baruch Hashem. I look like a very nice fellow too. Where am I up to? So the Rav didn't have smicha. They discovered the Rav has no smicha. How can he be the chief rabbi? Well, he's not a rabbi. So they sent to the Kav de Rav. I have the letter right here. Kav de Rav writes them back in a telegram. You ever heard of a telegram? Western Union? What's his backwards, forwards? Anyway, he said, Kav de Rav said about the Rav, I follow. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, he said about the Rav the following. Okay, basically he said that the Rav is a colossal giant who comes from colossal giants. Ari ben Laish, Tzori Loyomim, Abdachachme Teira, Hagon Ho Amiti, Mephis Hador Betiferes. How do you translate that? The wonder the wonder child, the wunderkind of the generation. Ein gomer of Sahalel. Quote Shem Tov also. Marin Arab Yisrael Alevi Salavetchik. Ben Agoin Agodol Amesh Alevi Salavetchik Agoin Amiti. Shenoch Alo Avruach Zkeinu Hoari Hachai Agodol Shem Chabur Rabbein Agodol Rabbein Shekol Yisrael Morin Chaim Alevi Salavetchik Zatzalala. Kamo Moshe B'yam HaTalmud Adim Kitoi Mesem Kol Rozlo Amislai. No secret is spared from him. Malin Istoros B'fanech Ne'olam. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. He writes, Kol Min Dein Tzmuchul Ono. Anyone like this has smicha halacha kibaisai b'chol makom. We pass like him everywhere. That's what Rav Avram Duba, Kahana, Shapira, the Rav of Kovno said about the Rav. By the way, the Rav is quoted in his sefer Dvar Avram a number of times. If you ever saw the Dvar Avram, very beautiful sefer. I'll tell you why you should look at it for a number of reasons. It's written by a goyim. Also, he has a very beautiful tshuva on Dina Machusadina. Most famous tshuva, Dina Machusadina, you know what that means? That we should follow the law of the land, like we have to pay taxes. I assume you pay taxes,
J-walk.
Or your parents pay taxes. What?
Not
on a jaywalk. Yeah, a jaywalk, excellent, all that. Dina Machusadina, which applies in the state of Israel as well. Okay, that's the story with that. Hasar HaZehumnin. So Hasar HaZehumnin, the Rav says to us at the very beginning, I was not zeicher to learn this parak with father. I didn't learn this parak. He didn't learn this parak with his father. The Rav learned apparently most of Shas with his father. By the way, Rav Soloveitchik was in Chasilich. He was 5 or 6 years old in what's called White Russia, Chabad Shtot. He was the Rav of Chabad Shtot. Why is he the Rav of Chabad Shtot? Because way back then, Chabad Shtot means the city of Chabadnikim entirely, except Rav Soloveitchik and his family who are not Chabadnikim. But the Rav became very fond of Chabad because of the Rebbe that he had in the Cheder there, that was a Chabad Rebbe. And the Rebbe was supposed to teach him Gemara and said, what the Rebbe teach him? Tanya. Kedarko Shal Chabad. And under the Gemara, who discovered this? The Rav's mother. The Rav's mother discovered he doesn't know anything about the Gemara. She tested him. She tested the Rav on the Gemara. The Rav said, I'm Aretz. But what's the Rav spouting? Tanya. He seems to know Tanya inside out. He was taken out of Cheder and placed under his father's custody, so to speak. And then he learned with his father for 12, 13 hours a day. Asalovichik, and his father's the Rav of the city. His father learned with him for, I don't know how many years exactly, 12, 13 years, not clear, until the Rav went to Berlin. That was at one point in his life. So the Rav learned with his father. So he says, I studied with my father many, many masechtes, and somehow, Asalovichik is the woman in this parak, they didn't learn together. So they're going to have a difficult time navigating the shoals, because the Rav used to quote his father, Kaseder, this Kibbutz Avraham, of Asalovichik was mind-boggling. I didn't see his father. I was never there to see his father or the Rav's mother, who lived actually until much later. And I'll tell you another story about that in a second if you remind me. If I get the Asar HaZehumnin. Anyway, so the Rav starts studying Asar HaZehumnin. And we see he's having a difficult time. What does it mean, difficult time? And not Avishai David having a difficult time. And the Rav Soloveitchik having a difficult time, which is obviously a different type of difficult time. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not worthy to be the ant on the floor of Rav Soloveitchik B'kitzer. So the Rav is going through one sugya, famous sugya, Chamor Stam, Chamor Zeh, famous difficult sugya, difficult Rambam over there. So the Rav says a whole approach to that sugya for 1 week. Okay, we couldn't take it. It was, trust me, it was hours and hours and hours. Even you probably would have some difficulty. I had difficulty. Fine. Next week the Rav comes in. Scratch whatever I said last week. I don't like that approach. I'm trying another approach. So my chavrus and I look at each other. Oh boy. Another week of this? We're going to go to another approach. A second of the halachin, this sugya. Fine. Hours and hours and hours and hours. You cannot imagine. Next week the rub comes in. Sketch what I said last week. Forget about it. It's not correct. Another mahalach. Three mahalachin. This one on for how many hours? I would not exaggerate. 100 hours. I'm not exaggerating. The rub said shurim. They were like 6-7 hour shurim, he was saying. Trying to figure out a Rambam and a Gemara, the third mahalach the Rav liked. Oh, Chavrus and I, well, we were going out of our minds. So what did we do? We learned together Machli Ephraim. We still learn Machli Ephraim in the middle of the Shia, before the Shia, into the Shia, at least. You have something solid, like my Moshe's thing. Anyway, the kids are so, we learn Machli Ephraim. We learn Hefter Sefer, Chavrus and I. So the, good, many years later, the sequel to the story. I'm in the Humowak, in the Catskills. That's a hotel in the Catskills. Nice. I didn't get anything yet. Wow, it's Olav HaShalom. Another Olav HaShalom hotel. Anyway, so hotel in the Catskills, and I'm learning Hasan HaZehumnin. I'm learning that parak again. This is many years later. Maybe 18, 20 years later. So I really didn't remember exactly the three approaches. I'll mention the sugya. Who do I meet there? Maven Vaben, Rabban Lechassin, that's all. He was in the Shia at the same time. Much older than I am. Anyway, so I asked Lechassin, would you mind saying the Shia with a whole group of us? And this parak on that sugya. So Abba Aaron says to me, give me a few moments to collect my thoughts, some rumination on the topic, and etc., etc. He's a Rav Salama. Then Rav Aaron proceeds to say over all three Malchim that he heard 18, 19 years ago, with clarity, Kilu, he heard it yesterday or today, etc., etc. He said a Shia for about 4 hours. No, I could never forget that. And these three Malchim in the Sugya. Okay, that's a Sefer Zumin story. I want to show you the Igiya and Ambala of the Rav Soloveitchik. He would not rest. When one of the, remember, the third week he came into the Shia, I never saw him look like that. He looked haggard. He looked tired. He looked like this. He was about to, on the verge of collapse. So Rav Soloveitchik then proceeds to say the following. And he's how he starts the Shia. This Sugya has boggled my mind. For weeks, I've been trying to figure out what is going on there. With the Rambam, with the Gemara, I can't sleep at night. I can't eat. So he said to one of the boys in the shir, one guy sitting next to me, that same guy I mentioned earlier, do you have problems sleeping too? So the guy, of course, we had no problem sleeping. We ate well, we slept well, everything was kind of fine. You don't understand this, so you don't understand it. So that's what the guy says to our soul. He says, listen, Rebbe, I couldn't understand it. It's too complicated. What am I supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Break your head! Are you crazy? How do you sleep at night if you can't understand the sugya? How do you sleep at night? Rav says, I have nightmares! He has nightmares. I slept well. He has nightmares, I'll follow it. Because he couldn't understand the sugya. That's where he was holding. And you can see, he came in looking haggard beyond belief. I never saw him like it. He looked like he hadn't slept in the last 2 weeks. He probably didn't. No, you're not solid. I wanted to mention, I referred to something else. What was I referring to?
The mother.
So I want to tell you a nice thing. I sat in the Shia Maria for 13 years. Next to me sat a guy. I told the story over before. A guy sat next to me who came with a Pepsi Cola keeper. You know what Pepsi Cola keeper is? A bottle cap. You're Gan Eden. You guys are Gan Eden. Dekel the Paris. So he's a Gan Eden. Dekel the Paris. Chazal says, Dekel the Paris. I'll be the Dawson. Anyway, so he pushed it.
You're good.
The guy, you're good. You're outstanding, not good. Outstanding. All you're outstanding. This guy sat with a little, and then he had his haircut looked like we have a Chais one or two here in Yeshiva, but his haircut looked like Bozo the Clown. Mom, you know Bozo? Anybody know Bozo? Yeah. Correct. Clumps of hair, of white hair over here, over here. Clumps! Massive clumps of hair. The guy came to the shir. They all sat on Sukkah, other Masechtas I mentioned. This guy came, no Gemara, no Zero. He sat next to me. So I was always curious about him. What in heaven's name has he come to the shir? Doesn't seem to be too interesting. In the shir, no Gemara, no nothing. He sits there. Fine. After 13 years, I tell the guy, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be here anymore. I figure, you know, my seat partner. Should I tell him where I'm going? I said, I'm leaving town, etc. I'm moving to Providence, Rhode Island. Oh, he says, oh, he spoke to me only in Yiddish. He says, I'll take you out to a little bistro on the west side. And we'll schmooze with you. He takes me out to a bistro. We're there till 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 a.m. I'm sure he must have gone from, after the shiur was over about 10 o'clock, to 2. Tells me his life story. His life story is the following. This guy is a Holocaust survivor. He lost his whole family in the Holocaust. His wife was killed. His children were killed. He escaped through all kinds of nisim, unbelievable nisim. So he got to America, in the 40s, and he said, goodbye religion, goodbye God, I'm an atheist, I'm agnostic, I don't believe this whole thing. Whole thing is absolute nonsense, silliness, etc. So after a while, he lived in the west side of Manhattan, and he heard there was a shiur given by a guy named Nightingale. Nightingale. Soloveitchik translated as Nightingale. There's a very interesting book by Harav Shechter, has a mishpacha, who wrote a book about this. It's called The Nightingale. He says over to Torah from the Rav. He's an uncle of Rav Shechter. Anyway, so it's in English. It's not available. You can't find it. I have it, of course. Anyway, the kids are so... there's nothing I don't have, Rav Soloveitchik. Keep out nothing. Every single thing that was ever published, I have it. I'm a chassid gadol of Rav Soloveitchik. So, Nightingale. What is the... God was a Nightingale. He says a lecture in Yiddish. This guy was a Yiddishist. He would love Yiddish language. This fellow, the Bozo clown, haircut, etc., the keeper, the Pepsi Cola keeper. He loved Yiddish. When he spoke Yiddish, he spoke a very literary Yiddish, very pungent, very. And Rav Soloveitchik also spoke a very, very hefty Yiddish. Anyone here know Yiddish at all? That's not your thing. Okay, Yiddish is a beautiful language.
That's right, he's learned the easy schmeasy guide to Yiddish.
Someone showed me that book. I didn't stop. I was laughing for 1 hour. 1 hour, I started laughing. So I used to read with my mother, Rav Shalom, because I wanted to understand how Salvezi Shurim. I used to read, my mother used to read with me, we used to read the Morgen Journal, the Tog, the Forward, and later on the Allgemeine Journal, which also had an English section. I actually had in my briefcase when the Rav was Nifter, a famous, shall we say, so-called Hesped, or if you will, obituary I have from the Jewish Observer, I have it here as well. I also have all the reactions of all the people, including my reaction, which was not published. But anyway, so the kids are, where am I getting to? I'm getting to the...
Kepskola Kippa.
The Kippa, right. So this fellow, thought telling me, he went through Gehenna, and he gave up on God, gave up on religion, gave up on everything. I'm just listening to this fellow. So he came to hear this lecture. Wow, what a Yiddish this guy has, this Rabbi Soloveitchik, this Nightingale. What a Yiddish! A literary Yiddish. He spoke the Rus, spoke the very... You know what I say? You know why I speak Hebrew? I don't know if you're aware why I speak Hebrew. Because Hebrew today consists of three things. Number one, Milinduatiot. Translated words from English. Are you familiar with that, Chaps? Translated words from English. That's 50% of Hebrew. 30% slang. 30% is slang. Maybe 80% Hebrew. That's why I speak Hebrew. Because the first 50 and the second 30, no problem at all. Correct? Tagal Peros, no?
Televisia.
What?
Televisia.
Okay, Televisia. But see, yeah, exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
so that's 50% of the Hebrew language, I'm telling you. So this guy tells me he fell in love with the Rav's Yiddish. Fell in love with Yiddish. He started coming to the shiur. He was not used to the shiur. He was there. Then the Rav said on. The Rav said a little bit on Chumash after the shiur. The whole thing was an hour, 15 minutes. An hour shiur. The Rav said on Sukkah for 10 years. 10 years on Masechet Sukkah. Wow. What shiur. You have to hear them. I think some of them are available on tape, I was told. That's Rabbi Reichman. Actually, you know Rabbi Reichman? He's by Rabbi Bubok. So he knows about all these things and shiurim and brisk and everything. He's the brisk love over here in this yeshiva. This guy falls in love with the Rav's Yiddish, and he just keeps going. For years, he goes to the shiur. Not interested in Gemara Kikus, just the Yiddish. That's what tantalizes him. One day he goes to the Rav Soloveitchik, tells him his story. He lost his family in the Holocaust. The Rav starts crying. That's what he told me. The Rav had ungebanged, he was crying, the Rav, crazy when he heard this guy's story. So the Rav says, you'll come with me, you're going to come with me every night. Then the Rav said this year, my days was Tuesday night, Dinstig Banach, you're going to come to eat supper with my mother. The Rav's mother was still living. The Rav used to eat supper in his mother's apartment after this year. The Rav would go to the shir, so the Rav takes him to the apartment. This guy became the Ben Balyas by Rav Soloveitchik. Little by little, the Rav was Makariv him. Not only was the Rav Makariv him, the Rav found him a Shidduch. Now did the Rav find him a Shidduch, he was lucky to have one child. He was not a youngster, he must have been. When I knew him properly, he was a man, I assumed, maybe in his 70s already. But the Rav met him already in the 50s. The Rav got him a Shidduch. He remarried, must have been his 50s then. The Rav, he remarried, and he was lucky to a son who happens to be an outstanding Ben Torah, which is an amazing story. Now, some ways it was Makariv how? So he tells me at the end of the 2 o'clock in the morning, he tells me, "Nu, how was the Rav carrying me? Duch the klang of the Yiddish. The klang of the Yiddish language, that's how the Rav was carrying him. Klang means the noise, the music of Yiddish. To him, Yiddish was music. And that's how the Rav was carrying him. I was about to say something else. I meant there's another story in the between there. I forgot now which one I'm at. There, Dr. Alan Goldstein, yes, back to him. He tells me the following story. When he became a doctor, he didn't know what the area of medicine is going into. So he decided to ask people to know Israel. That's what people do. Dole Israel are very smart people, trust me. They're very, very smart. So he asked Rikki Dole. He asked Amesha Feinstein Zatzal, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zechatzal Dibracha, Zechain Dibracha, Allah Shalom, I don't know what else you have to say to make sure that.
Shlita?
That's what I was referring to. Anyway, so the third person he asked was the Lubavitcher. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein told him, enter the area of medicine, we will have minimal Chil Shabbos. Rabbi Moshe, being the Tosik that he was always concerned about Chil Shabbos. So he asked Rabbi Moshe, he said, Rashiva, what area should I enter? Radiology. Become a radiologist? He did become a radiologist. But that's a radiology, even today. Hariyam Mazif, if you know radiologists, I have a whole bunch of them in my neighborhood. daven the mashul. Some of them, they radiology just look at X-rays, and they are diagnostic radiologists, more all kinds of radiologists, forensic radiologists. A very fascinating field, massive field today. It's an unbelievable field, radiology, tremendous field. They give you Shem Shabbos without too much difficulty. He then went to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Lubavitcher Rebbe told him, enter Neri medicine, where you'll enhance the self-esteem of people. There are people who suffer from lack of self-esteem, and you have to enhance it. So what did he suggest? Several suggestions he gave him. Become a dermatologist. People who have dermatological issues, skin problems, often have a low self-esteem. Or plastic surgery, he told him, to cosmetic surgery, go into that. This is what the Lubavitcher Rebbe told him. He went to Al Soloveitchik. The Rav told him the following. He imitated the Rav. Dr. Goldstein, Chaim Lidrocha. The Rav said to him, go into area of medicine where you will push the frontiers of medicine forward. You will uncover new pioneering discoveries. You will invent new technology. You'll discover genes to cure cancer. This is what the Rav told him when? We're talking about, probably, I imagine, this is in the late 50s. Even what Al-Solovitchik told him? So guess what happened? Not did he become a radiologist, nor dermatology, nor plastic surgery, nor whatever profession the Rav was talking about. What?
He was an ENT.
That's correct. He was an ENT person. He was also an internist. He had actually 2 degrees. And he was an Iluy of a doctor. And also a Talmud Chacham Otzum. I can't begin to tell you. At that, Nichem Avel, boy, oh boy, that he put me in my place and learning. He knew what a black tomato was. He knew what learning was all about. And also he was a prominent doctor. I'm just, what time is it? We have it's 12 o'clock now?
Mincha.
Mincha. I forgot about Mincha. We do that Mincha in the Yeshiva. I just want to, I really didn't get to anything I want to talk about. That's the problem. It's all stam. I don't know what happened. I'll just tell you one last thing. Give you a sense of Rav Soloveitchik's sense of Rachmanis. There were 2 gerim in the shir in my days. Ger Tzedek. You know what Ger Tzedek is? Person who converses Judaism, are very sincere people. So they would talk up in the shir. Now, in the Rav Soloveitchik shir, very few people spoke up. You were frightened out of your wits to speak up. Because if you said something that was not too intelligent, you would hear about it. Which is not too good for people's ego, so they just kept quiet. People like me just didn't open up their mouth. My mouth was sealed. Except when I had to read the Gemara, that I had no choice. I had to open up my mouth, and et cetera, et cetera. What followed was, Yitzhak Hashem must be also. Anyway, these 2 Gerim, we didn't know they were Gerim. They would talk in Shia. They would say the silliest things in the world. Now, somebody would take what they said, turn it into Chiddush Torah. For the life of me, I couldn't say, what is going on here? I open up my mouth and I'm destroyed. Destroyed! Gerit Tzedek. They open up their mouth, they say, we didn't know they were Gerit Tzedek. They say things that were just plain stupid. Not just stupid. Silly. Not just silly. Completely wrong. And the Rav would say, interessante, he would say, man. Very interesting what you're saying. And then the Rav would turn into Chiddush Torah. Later on, we discovered they were Gerit Tzedek. You know how the Briskas deal with Gerit Tzedek? Oh, says it. Bishloshim b'shishim mekomos, 36 places. The Torah warned us about how we should treat a ger. Oynas dvorim, oynas hager. God forbid we should. In any way, when it comes to yisaylim, almanis, mind-boggling. Then we understood why Soloveitchik acted as he did. So there are 2 aspects of him. One, the great gadol that he was, a giant, really a colossal giant. Greatness. When I'm talking about greatness, but you know where he came from? I discovered amol. What does amol mean? Toil. How do you spell the word toil? Excellent. I won a spelling bee in grade 1 when I was in first grade. That's why I know how to spell. Toil. One has to toil in Torah. And you know what we discovered over the years? We have Rabbeim and Yeshiva who are very bright. I'm a simple fellow. I'm a very average person. But I discovered with Amola, you can achieve things. When you learn and you chazal and you attach yourself to a Rebbe, that's what I did. For 20 years, I only missed 1 shir. Rabbi Nissim Alpert, Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, the Rav, a few other shir. 1 shir I missed. Why? Because my wife broke her leg. Who misses a shir? Who ever heard of such a thing? I learned by people who are gedei d'olam. They impacted my life. They transformed me. The gemri. Okay, I'm not such a great student. Unfortunately, I'm not the best Talmud. But I realized if one attaches to a Rebbe, you're mechuba, not just a Rebbe, you're mechuba to a Baruch Shem. I'll end with one last story. They say about Rav Kook Zatzal. I'm very fond of Rav Kook. Rav Kook Zatzal, when he went to Cheder every day, he had to go down a mountain. Usually a mountain during the winter, full of ice and snow, etc. I should tell you about my story the other night. Anyways, full of ice and snow. So he came down the mountain and he was never harmed. All this other chaverim came down the mountain, they never made it without being bruised and battered. So they asked Rav Kook, how is it possible? Rav Kook answered, Eba mensch, is zugebunden, eben, er kommt unten on a baya. If someone is connected up high, you come downstairs, no problem at all. So you have to be connected to your Vanisha. And how do you connect? By learning. By Lima Latera, Gemara, Tarsha Valpeh, Tarsha Bechsav, and little by little you realize that that's what it's all about, and all of you can become outstanding B'nai Torah, and Tamil Chacham, Alabai B'Tzashem, that should happen.
Amen. Shkoyach.